Good morning. I'm very thankful to finally be able to meet with you this morning to worship. I am Joseph. This is my wife, Rachel. And my children, Beth, Emily, Jeremiah, and William. I am thankful that you have made the effort to come out this morning. And I am very thankful to hear you singing songs of praise to our Lord. Your voices are beautiful as you lift them up in praise to God. In His Word, He tells us that we are to speak to one another in songs and in hymns and in spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And God is pleased when we are obedient to His Word. You know, there is so much that we each have to be thankful for this morning. Sometimes we forget to give thanks because we are looking at everything negative around us. There are always plenty of things that we can complain about. But if we consider the good things that exist in our lives, we will always find that we have much more to give thanks for than we do to complain about. Whether our attitude is an attitude of thanksgiving or an attitude of complaint and discouragement, it has more to do with where our minds are and where we are looking than what is actually going on in our lives. I know this to be true because I myself get discouraged and complain from time to time. This morning I want to speak to you from the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. This is a very good section of scripture. It is the end of this letter that Paul writes to the Thessalonian church. In this text, God is going to remind us of the blessing that is ours through Jesus Christ. He is going to speak to us of our responsibility as Christians or believers. He is going to remind us that we have much to be thankful for. And finally, he's going to point us back to the power that motivates and sustains us. He's going to show us that it is not we who do these things. And that's very good, because the responsibility that God has given to each one of us as believers it is overwhelming. It is more than we are able to do. But it is God who works in us. It is God who performs His will. So let's look at this text this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are going to begin in verse 5 and read through verse
24.
I am going to go ahead and read in English for the English speakers here in my family, and then someone will read the Khmer version. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it.
បាទមើលបាច់មើលតិចអានមកអូខេបាទខ្ញុំបាច់ជួយទេអានមកអូខេងារអឺគ្នាសត្វតែជាពួកនៃពលឹងហើយជាពួកនៃឆ្នៃយើងមានមែនជាពួកនៃយប់ឬនៃសក្តិដៃងងឹតឡើយដូច្នេះត្រូវឲ្យយើងចាំយាមហើយដឹងខ្លួនយើងត្រូវឲ្យគេលក់ ដោយជាមនុស្សអតិថិទេបាទពួកអ្នកដែលនៅយកនោះគឺតែនៅពេលយកហើយពួកអ្នកដែលស្រវឹងស្រាក៏តែស្រវឹងនៅពេលយកដែរតែយើងដែលជាពួកនៃថ្ងៃយើងត្រូវដឹងខ្លួនទាំងប្រដាប់ដោយប្រដាប់កាយដោយសេចក្តីជំនឿនិងសេចក្តីស្រឡាញ់ទុកជាប្រដាប់បាំងដើមទ្រូង ហើយសេចក្តីសង្គ្រោះរបស់ផងសេចក្តីសង្គ្រោះទុកជាមុខសត្វតបព្រះទ្រង់មានបានតម្រូវយើងទុកសម្រាប់សេចក្តីក្រទេគឺសម្រាប់ឲ្យបានសេចក្តីសង្គ្រោះវិញដោយសារព្រះយេស៊ូវគ្រីស្ទជាព្រះអម្ចាស់នៃយើងដែលទ្រង់សុខគត់ជំនួសយើងដើម្បីឲ្យយើងរលគ្នាបានរស់នៅជាមួយនឹងទ្រង់
ទោះបើចាំយាមរីកដីដូចណាចូលកំសាន្តហើយស្អាងចិត្តគ្នាទៅវិញទៅមកដោយជាអ្នករងគ្នាកំពុងតែធ្វើហើយនោះដែរហើយបងប្អូនយើងខ្ញុំអង្វរអ្នករងគ្នាថាចូលចំណាំឲ្យស្គាល់ពួកអ្នកដែលខំជួយកិច្ចការក្នុងពួកអ្នករងគ្នានិងពួកអ្នកដែលនៅមុខអ្នករងគ្នាទុក អ្នករស់នៅក្នុងព្រះអង្គម្ចាស់ហើយនឹងពួកអ្នកដែលទូនមានអ្នកដើម្បីឲ្យបានរកអានជាខ្លាំងចំពោះពួកអ្នកយ៉ាងនោះដោយសេចក្តីស្រឡាញ់
ដោយព្រោះការដែលគេធ្វើចូលនៅជាមួយគ្នាដោយមេត្រីចុះបងប្អូនអើយយើងខ្ញុំទូលមានឲ្យអ្នករាល់គ្នាបន្ទោសដល់ពួកអ្នកដែលគ្មានសណ្ដាប់ធ្នាប់ហើយជួយកំសាន្តដល់ពួកអ្នកណាដែលមានសេចក្តីគុណគុណត្រង់ចិត្តគុណត្រង់ចិត្តទាំងក្រុមពីពួកអ្នកដែលសោយហើយអត់អន់ចំពោះមនុស្សទាំងអស់ចូលប្រយ័ត្នកុំឲ្យអ្នករាល់គ្នាធ្វើអំពើអាក្រក់ស្ងនឹងអំពើអាក្រក់ឡើយចូលដេញតាមការល្អជាដរាបដល់អ្នកដល់គ្នាទៅវិញទៅមកហើយដល់មនុស្សផងទាំងឡាយដែរចូលសប្បាយជានិច្ចចូលអតិថានឥតឈប់ឈរចូលអរព្រះគុណក្នុងព្រះក្នុងគ្រប់ការទាំងអស់ពីព្រោះព្រះទ្រង់សពព្រះហារតីឲ្យអ្នករាល់គ្នាធ្វើយ៉ាងដូច្នោះដោយនៅព្រះគ្រីស្ទយេស៊ូវកុំឲ្យ
ពន្លត់
ព្រះវិញ្ញាណកុំឲ្យមើលងាយការអធិប្បាយឡើយចូលលោកមើលគ្រប់ទាំងអស់ហើយតាមជាប់តាមសេចក្តីដែលត្រឹមត្រូវចូលជាចាញ់ទីសេចក្តីអាក្រក់គ្រប់យ៉ាងសូមអោយព្រះនៃសេចក្តីសុខសាន្តជាញារលគ្នាចាញ់ជាបរិសុទ្ធសពគ្រប់ហើយអោយទាំងប្រលឹងនិងវិញ្ញាណហើយរូបកាយនិងទាំងមូលបានបំរុងទុកអិតសមងដល់រាមដល់ព្រះយេស៊ូវគ្រីស្ទជាព្រះអម្ចាស់នៃយើងទ្រង់យាងមកព្រះដែលបានហៅអ្នករាល់គ្នាទ្រង់ស្មោះត្រង់ទ្រង់នឹងធ្វើសម្រេចការនោះបងប្អូនអើយសូមអធិដ្ឋានឲ្យយើងខ្ញុំផងសូមជម្រាបសួរដល់ពួកបងប្អូនទាំងអស់ដោយហៅបរិសុទ្ធដែរ
ពេញបួនឯងដល់ណាហ
៎
អាមែន
អាមែន
Amen. I know this seemed like a very long, long reading this morning. I hope you were able to follow along with it. If not, do not worry because we are about to revisit it a section at a time.
សម្រាប់ទួយអំពីការនេះពីព្រោះថាពេលនេះគឺជាពេលមួយដែលយើងរៀន
Now when we read long passages of scripture
នៅពេលដែលយើងអានអត្ថព្រះគម្ពីរនេះចប
់ It might help us to remember that these are God's words
តែធ្វើឲ្យយើងបានចាំទាំងនេះគឺជាព្រះបន្ទូលរបស់ព្រះអម្ចាស
់ They would not be there if they were not important
តែពួកគេមិនបានលើទីនោះប៉ុន្តែ
So even though sometimes it seems difficult to read such long sections, it is worth it because in these readings we find God's word and His will.
ហើយនៅកន្លែងអត្ថបទព្រះគម្ពីរនេះយើងដឹងអំពីព្រះបន្ទូលព្រះអម្ចាស់និងបំណងព្រះទ័យរបស់ទ្រង
់ And it's very important that when we begin to read God's word that we start at the beginning of the sentence.We need to understand the thought that he is presenting. So that is why we read such a large portion. Now the broader context of this reading, Paul is writing on God's behalf to encourage his church.The people of God in Thessalonica, just like the people of God here in Varan, they were human beings. They were subject to being discouraged. They had a lot of work that they had to do. And they had enemies surrounding them. They lived in a city that was a city of great wickedness. A city where false gods were worshipped. And a place where they were not welcome because of their faith. In fact, these people had all suffered persecution for their belief. Some of them were beaten and some of them were killed. It was difficult to be a Christian in Thessalonica. So God sends this letter to his church. He begins by telling them, I know that you belong to God. He says, I know that Jesus Christ died for you. I know this to be true because you received the word of God even though you were afflicted. And he says, because I know this, I know that God is working in you. He goes on to tell them to hope in Christ. He doesn't promise them freedom from persecution. He doesn't promise them that they will live long lives and that they will be wealthy. Instead, what he tells them is to keep their eyes upon Jesus. And he says, the day is coming when persecution will cease. The end of chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 10. He says unto wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. In chapter 2, verse 19, he says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are ye not even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? In chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, he says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And then in chapter 4, he says that we have great hope in the coming of Jesus Christ. He says, when your loved ones die, don't sorrow as those that have no hope. But instead, rejoice. Because we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And because of this, we know that those who sleep in Jesus Christ Jesus will bring with him when he comes again. Yes, he says God is coming in the form of Jesus Christ. And when he comes, he's going to receive us to himself. And in that day, there will be no more persecution. We will forever be with the Lord. He says, comfort one another with these words. Okay, this is the context of chapter 5 that we've read this morning. Some people are going to say, but when is he coming? In Peter's epistle, Peter says there are going to be scoffers. They're going to say all things continue as they were from the beginning of the world. Where's the promise of his coming? Well, Peter responds to that argument. But here Paul simply says, we don't need to write to you of the times and seasons of his coming. Because you know that it is going to come as a thief to those who are in darkness. But you are not in darkness. You are in the light. I'm so glad to see the little children here this morning. Children, do you know what it's like to be in darkness? You can't see what's around you. You don't know where you're going. Maybe sometimes you wake up in the night and it is dark and you are scared. Sometimes adults, they get scared in the dark too. But here Jesus says, you are children of the light. That means you can see where you're going. When you wake up in the morning and it is light outside and light all around you, are you afraid? No, because you can see. Well, Jesus says you are children of the light. Not of the nighttime or of the darkness. So, if it is light outside, what are we supposed to be doing? There's work that needs to be done. He says, you're children of the day, not of the night nor of darkness. So don't sleep like others do. When it is dark outside, that is the time for sleeping. When we can't see, we cannot work. But Paul here writes and says, let us not sleep as do others, but instead let's watch and let's be sober. Let's keep our minds pure and focused on the Word of God. Because we are of the day, we should not sleep like those of the night. We should not be drunken like those who drink at night. But instead, let's be serious about this life that we claim as Christians. Verse 8, he says, put on the breastplate of faith and love.
នៅក៏បំបីបានប្រាប់យើងច្បាស់អំពីការនេះថាតែយើងជាកូននៃពន្លឺត្រូវដែលជួនថាប្រដាប់កាយដែលសេចក្តីជំនឿនិងសេចក្តីស្រឡាញ់
Paul was very fond of talking about the life of a Christian as a warfare. Soldiers in the Roman army in the day when Paul lived, they wore armor. They had a metal plate they would wear on their chest. That way when the archer fired an arrow, if it hit them in the chest, it would fall off. They carried a shield. So when they would fight with a sword, the shield would glance off. They wore steel helmets. That way a glancing blow from a sword or a spear would not kill them. In the Ephesian letter, Paul gives a great deal of instruction about putting on the whole armor of God. He talks about the breastplate, the shield, the helmet, the shoes. Here he says, put on the breastplate of faith and love. Protect your heart. Don't be turned aside by the discouragement that abounds in life. When floodwaters rise, when crops fail, when enemies come in to seek to harm you, surround yourself with faith in Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. He's just said, keep a sober mind. A mind that is serious, that understands what is going on. How are you going to keep your head right? Not be confused. Not be led astray. He says, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. He's just told us of this hope that we have. Jesus is coming again. In the Revelation letter, he says, to him that overcometh will I give to sit with me and be clothed in white apparel. The idea here is, if you can fight this warfare, if you keep your heart in your head, then Jesus Christ is coming. The victory is yours. So hold fast to your faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The very end of that chapter, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Verse 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
តើអរព្រគុណដល់ព្រះអង្គពីព្រោះទ្រង់បានប្រទានឲ្យយើងរាល់គ្នាមានជីវិតនេះដោយសារព្រះយេស៊ូវគ្រីស្ទជាព្រះអម្ចាស់នៃយើង
ព្រះ
អង្គមានបានជាព្រះអង្គបានជាបងប្អូនឈ្មោះនេះអើយចូលតាមជួបនៅសេនីអរគុណគឺជាធ្វើការក្នុងព្រះអម្ចាស់ដរាបដល់ដែលដឹងថាការទាំងអស់នោះខ្ញុំនឹងប្រឹងធ្វើដល់ព្រះអម្ចាស់មិនមែនដោយអត្ថប្រយោជន៍ទេ
How do you know that it's worth it
តើយើងទៅមានជ័យជំនះដោយរបៀបណា
All of the suffering, all of the trials, all of the difficulty in life. Because you know that Jesus is coming again. You know that your hope is sure, is steadfast.
Verse 9.
God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is God who is at work. God hasn't appointed us to wrath. So we don't have to fear His wrath. Instead, we hope to obtain salvation by Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Again, Paul is writing to a group of people who will likely suffer death for their faith in Jesus. He says, whether we are alive or whether we are dead, we are going to live with Jesus Christ. He says there is hope in the darkest hour. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and build one another up. One of the reasons God has placed you in a church fellowship is so that you can encourage one another. So you can build each other up. One day one of you is going to be discouraged. You are going to feel like giving up. Maybe someone you trusted in has abandoned you. Maybe someone who you had hope in this world has disappointed. And in that hour, maybe your brother, your sister comes to you with comfort. With encouragement, saying, hold on. Jesus is faithful. He is coming again. Verse 12. We beseech you, we beg you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Here he speaks of your responsibility as a church to your pastor, to your leaders. There is a responsibility that we each bear to those who have instructed us in the faith. He says you need to know, you need to pay attention to those whom God has placed in your life for your instruction. You need to love them for what they do for God's kingdom. When you meet together to hear the word of God proclaimed, you are to give thanks to God for the word. But you are also to esteem highly the one who has labored in study to present the word to you. And you are to pay attention and listen to the words that are spoken. There is respect that is owed to the house of God and to the minister of the gospel. Part of that respect that he mentions here is to be at peace among yourselves. You aren't everyone to go your own way and be at war one with another. But instead we have a responsibility to go together in the same way. To follow after the word of God. To be at peace among ourselves. Verse 14 reinforces this idea. Now we exhort you, brethren. Paul says, you brethren, you who have believed in Jesus, take very seriously this responsibility that God has given you. First, he says, warn those that are unruly. Maybe there are some in your midst who do their own thing. They do not want to live as Christians, though they have professed belief. Maybe even in the house of God, they are unruly. They do not participate in the worship. He says, warn them. It is a very serious thing to profess faith in Christ and then to walk away from Him. The book of Jude, verse 21 through 23, speaks to this issue. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. So there is a responsibility that we all share equally to warn those who will not be governed by God's rule. Then he says, comfort the feeble-minded. There are some whose minds are not very strong. Some who cannot understand very much. A lot of times society looks down upon those. They are outcast, they are despised. In the house of God, they are welcomed. Comfort, he says, those who have feeble minds. Then he says, support the weak. In another place, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Maybe there are some who are weak in faith. Maybe they are new to the things of God. Encourage them all the more. Build them up. Maybe there are some who are physically weak. Maybe they are sick. Care for them. Provide for them that which is needed. And this last statement of this verse is very difficult. Be patient toward all men. Sometimes patience is very difficult. Especially for those who are weak and those who are feeble-minded and those who are unruly. Maybe you've warned one who is unruly and they continue in their sin. You say, but I've already told him. I shouldn't have to tell him again. Peter asked the Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother? Seven times? He said, do I have to forgive my brother seven times in one day? Jesus said, 70 times. 490 times in one day, maybe. That seems unreasonable to me. But he says, be patient to all men. And along with that, see that none render evil for evil to any man. In our nature, when a man does something bad to us, we want to return something bad to him. If a man hits me, I want to hit him back. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says if a man strike you on one cheek, you turn to him the other cheek. Let him strike you again. That doesn't make sense to us. What possible good can that do? He says, see that none render evil for evil to any man. For this Thessalonican church, this was an instruction to endure more suffering. They were being persecuted, and he was saying, don't fight back. But ever follow that which is good. You know, sometimes it's easier to be good when we're surrounded by good people. You know, in theory, in the Church of God, it should be easy for us to be Christian. It doesn't always work that way. But when we're surrounded by people who are professed Christians, it should be easy for us to behave like Christians should. But Paul doesn't just say among yourselves, be good. He says, follow after that which is good before all men. A And our responsibility as Christians is much more than to be good when we're in our families and in, among our friends. Our responsibility is to show a world of darkness the light of Jesus Christ. Paul says we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We represent him before the world. So it's that much more critical that we be at peace with all men. That we be good to all men. Your neighbor who is not a believer. Maybe he is Buddhist, maybe he is atheist. Be kind to him. Treat him in love. Do good things for him. Why? So that he will see the love of Christ in you. Remember that Jesus Christ loved you. He died for you. When you were an enemy of God, he didn't die for righteous men. He died for sinners. He didn't die for those who loved him. He loved those who hated him. And he says, love your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. And then he says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice. He says this to people who are being persecuted. People whose children are being killed. People whose parents are being murdered. He says, rejoice. Rejoice evermore. How can we rejoice when bad things are happening? Following Jesus Christ is not a way to have everything in your life happen the way you desire it to be. In fact, God's word says you're blessed if you suffer for his name's sake. For even hereunto you were called. Paul is not writing to a people who are going to have everything in life go their way. He's not saying rejoice because now that you believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to be healthy and wealthy and wise. No, he says rejoice because you are his. Rejoice because of the hope he's given you. Rejoice in every circumstance of life. I told you it's a difficult responsibility. How are you going to rejoice when bad things are happening? Well, you're going to rejoice because your God is still on the throne.
ប៉ុន្តែអ្វីដែលយើងត្រូវមានសំណងគឺ
ព្រះ
ម្ចាស់ទ្រង់គង់នៅលើរាជបល្ល័ង
And you have access to God through Jesus Christ
ហើយយើងមានសំណងត្រង់ព្រះម្ចាស់គ្រប់យ៉ាងតាមរយៈព្រះយេស៊ូវគ្រីស្ទនឹងនាំយើងទៅ
Verse 17 Pray without ceasing
នេះត្រង់ខ7ជួអធិដ្ឋានដែលអត់ឈឺអីទាំងអស់
Don't stop praying. You say, but I've already prayed and God hasn't heard my prayer. Never make the mistake of thinking because God hasn't given you what you asked for that He doesn't hear. God always hears. Paul says, don't stop praying. In fact, go and pray more. The Apostle Paul one time had a terrible problem in his life. He says he had a thorn in his flesh. A pain he could not get rid of. So he prayed to God. Three times he prayed to God. Please, Lord, take this thorn away from me. And finally, the word of God came back to Paul. And you think, surely, if God would listen to anyone's prayers, it would be Paul. Well, God heard and God responded. But not in the way Paul anticipated. God said, My grace is sufficient unto thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. This was a learning experience for Paul. And it's something we all have to learn from time to time. God's will concerning us might not be the same as our will. And we have to learn to pray, Thy will be done. For Paul, this was a difficult lesson. But he again found his place of rejoicing. He later wrote, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. So here, verse 18, we read, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. In suffering and affliction. In trials and in pain. Give thanks. Why? Why would I give thanks for something that hurts me? Because God is sovereign and it's God's will. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Because He's in charge, we bow submissively to His will. We give thanks in everything. This coming Thursday. It is a day that is celebrated in my country, the United States.
I
It is called Thanksgiving Day. A national holiday set aside to give thanks to God. There was a time when my country was a Christian nation. Compared to many in the world, it still is. But at the time when the very first Western settlers, European settlers, came to my country's shores, they experienced a great deal of suffering. A group of people came across the Atlantic Ocean on a small boat. They arrived at a very rocky shore in the northeast. They found things very different from the land that they had left. They could not go back home because they had fled persecution for their faith in Jesus. They did not know how to live in this new land. The first winter that they stayed there, many people died. It was hard for them to maintain hope. But they prayed to God. They had been told that the native people were to be feared. But having nowhere else to turn, they turned to those people to help them to survive. They learned to plant and to harvest the fruit that grew in the land. They survived that first year. And at the end of the year at harvest time, they celebrated with a great feast. And they gave thanks to God for providing them their needs. Our nation has elected to celebrate this event each year. And to reflect on how God has blessed us. This is a good practice for us to get into. To reflect on what God has done for us. You know, no matter how much or how little we have, it all belongs to God. And whatever we have received, it is more than what we deserve. We don't deserve anything. The one thing we do deserve is that which God, by grace and mercy in Christ, has delivered us from. We have much, much to be thankful for. So Paul writes, in everything give thanks. Why? Because Jesus Christ is working in you. The fact that you're here today, the fact that your faith is in Jesus Christ, this makes known the work of God in your heart. So give thanks to God. quench not the spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God is in you. So over and over again, Paul writes, and he says that you are to walk in the Spirit. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Over and over, this command is in the Scripture. Now he says, give thanks to God for everything, and quench not the Spirit. Paul is saying that the Spirit of God is in you, prompting you to give thanks to God. Don't put that spirit away from you. Don't shut it off. No, give praise and thanks to God. Verse 20, don't despise prophesyings. Don't neglect that which is taught to you. When the Word of God or a man of God speaks to you, you listen. You obey the Word of God. Verse 21 says you need to listen and know whether it's true or not. Prove all things and hold on to that which is good. If a man of God speaks to you and the word is true, if it's supported by the word of Scripture, then you hold fast to it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. When evil things begin to encroach about you in your life, you turn away from them. Stay away from evil. Don't do things that will look to others as though you are engaged in evil. Do not be where evil is present. And here's the promise, verse 23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the hope. God is going to set you apart. He's going to distinguish you from the rest of mankind. Not just part of you. Not just your soul and your spirit, but even your body. God is going to preserve you in righteousness until Jesus Christ comes again. How do we know this is true? How are we going to accomplish what God has commanded of us? How are you going to be righteous? How are you going to do good to all men? How are you going to do good to people that hate you? How are you going to love those who do evil to you? How are you going to overcome evil with good? There is a famous poem It contains many good suggestions for a young man. A father's advice to his child. It goes along somewhat with these texts this morning. If you can keep your head when everyone about you is losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can do what is right when everyone around you is doing what's wrong, it goes on and on. If you can do this, if you can do that. And the conclusion of each verse is, then you'll be a man, my son. I'm told that one day this poem was being recited to a group of men who had gone astray. And one of the men in the audience hollered out loudly, "Well, what if I can't?" And that's what the world gives us. A set of rules that we must follow. Sometimes in the Church of God, we're told, do this and this and this and this. And sometimes we want to holler out, what if I can't? Here Paul has told us much of our responsibility as his people. He's told us we're saved in Jesus Christ. But he says, let's watch and be sober. He says, let's be at peace among ourselves. Warn those that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient. Don't render evil for evil. Rejoice evermore. Do good to all men. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from evil. If we boil this down to a list of commands, then we say, what if I can't do these things? What then? Where is the hope? Verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. You see, if God has only given us a list of rules and it's up to us to perform them, then we find ourselves in a bad condition. But God's word does not leave us there. God's word says Jesus Christ is faithful. He's called us to the doing of these works. And he also will do it. Sometimes that's hard for us to understand. Sometimes it seems like that just can't be. So Paul is moved by the Spirit to give us himself as an example. In Romans chapter 7, Paul says, there's a warfare in my members.
I
In verse 21, he says, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. In verse 24, he cries out in agony. Like the man who cries out, what if I can't? Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, our hope is in Christ Jesus. He's faithful who called us. He also will do it. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes to another beloved church, the church at Philippi. He says, I thank God on every remembrance of you, verse
3.
Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, ultimately the work is God's. It is Jesus Christ who is at work in our lives. That chapter closes with this statement in verse
29 and 30.
For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. Chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, let's be at peace with all men. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You see, Paul speaks the same message to this church at Philippi. You are the children of light. So walk in light. Shine forth the light of God. Enlighten the world in which you live. And never think for a moment that you were alone in this effort. Never for a moment believe that it is your strength which will prevail. No, it is God, it is Christ who works in you. And as long as He is working, you can be confident in the result. The hope is before you. There's coming a day when Jesus will return, and everything we've endured in this present world will seem to be nothing compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So Paul says, comfort one another with these words. I pray that God this morning will comfort us together, that He will strengthen us for the tasks ahead, that He will build up your faith and your trust, that He will enable each of you to touch your family and your community with God's love, and that His name will be glorified in us. I am thankful for your presence here and your faithfulness. I pray that God will bless each of you with His presence and His word. Thank you for your attention. Akun Sharan.